we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio. I'm Walker Wildman. It's a live edition of the program. Glad to be with you on the program today. And Rick Green and myself, we host the show each week, and we enjoy doing so. And I had a good event yesterday evening in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and had dinner with several of our listeners and supporters, and it was a good time of fellowship. We got to update them on the work of American Family Association and American Family Radio. And Jonesboro surprised me. I underestimated the size of the city. And I had always, for some reason, envisioned Jonesboro as this small town, but it's not. It's got 80,000 people there, and it's got Arkansas State University in Jonesboro. So pretty neat city there, not a town, technically a city, and a lot bigger than I thought it was. And then when we drove up, I said, wow, this is like bigger than Tupelo. And had a good time in Jonesboro yesterday evening. Well, let's turn our attention to the scripture, and then we will head straight into the news of the week and talk about some topics that I actually haven't been able to talk about because they've occurred in the news over the past 48 hours since I've done my last show. Psalm 146 is where we are today in verses 8 and 9. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the stranger. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. Well, two things here. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. This isn't just a physical act, right? Although he does, because we saw where Jesus healed the blind man, caused the blind man to see. So the Lord literally does open the eyes of the blind. But in a spiritual context, the Lord opens the eyes of the spiritually blind. That's what he does to every single believer when we receive salvation. And when we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, as our rescuer. And anyone who, you know, there's theological debate about miracles, modern miracles. It's abundantly clear throughout both Old and New Testament that God was in the business of miracles, and he still is today. But, you know, Christians have good-hearted debates about, you know, whether apostolic miracles are still around, whether, you know, certain people are gifted to perform miracles or call upon the name of the Lord and basically summon miracles. And those are good-hearted debates. As far as the power of the Lord, he obviously is still in the miracle business, and he hasn't given up any power to perform miracles ever throughout the Lord's eternal existence. So, but as far as, you know, whether people are anointed to, you know, call upon the Lord for miracles, that's an interesting discussion. But there's no doubt. And I'm getting to a place where we all agree, at least we should. There's one definitive miracle that every single believer experiences, right? Because everybody has different life experiences, and everybody even has different salvation experiences. And, you know, some people may have visibly or otherwise experience God performing miracles, like situations that can only be described through miraculous terms and supernatural terms. But there may be some people that go, you know, I've just never experienced something like that. I've never experienced something that is explained in supernatural terms, whether it's healing or otherwise. But let's not forget, if the person you're having this discussion with, you know, is a believer, we all experience a miracle when we experience salvation. And this is what doesn't need to be overlooked, because you read verse 8 here, Psalm 146, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord opens the eyes of the spiritually blind. Every single time a lost person comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that is a miracle, because the Lord has opened the eyes of the blind. He has defied sin and death. And so in our discussions about miracles and modern miracles, let's not forget that every single one of us that are born again believers have experienced the miracle of having sight, coming from a place of no sight, of being blinded, to now having our eyes opened and having salvation. That is a miracle that every single believer in Jesus has experienced. So, in at least one sense, we've all experienced a miracle of God by receiving salvation in Jesus. That's Psalm 146, verse 8 and 9. Couple other things I want to mention. Our Activate Summit, I've been teasing this pretty much every show for the past few months, but I'm going to continue doing it because registration's still open. Our Activate Summit's coming up in June 12th through the 14th of 2025, which is this year. It's going to be here in Tupelo at the Cadence Bank Conference Center. And we do have a kids track, an Activate Kids program for ages 6 to 12. Ages 13 plus, they're going to be able to be in the main session with their parents or whoever they travel with. So we would love for you to join us. It's very affordable, $75 for ages 13 and up, $50 for ages 6 to 12, and free for children under 5. And it's 2.5 days. So we would love to have you join us in Tupelo. Activate Summit 2025 coming up in June of this year. Go over to activate.afa.net for more information, activate.afa.net. The other thing before we move on is our Culture Warrior film. I've got it here in studio if you're watching on Facebook at the Core page, or if you're over on stream.afa.net watching the live video there. CultureWarrior.movie is the URL to go check this out. But this is a excellent, excellent film. And I don't just say that because we produced it, but the history, the story, God's providence, all of that displayed in Culture Warrior. We would encourage you to check it out, culturewarrior.movie. Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. If you want to know how AFA was founded and how it came about, how American Family Radio came about, or if you want to know a little bit about the culture war that began in the 60s and 70s, this is a very fascinating film, culturewarrior.movie, culturewarrior.movie. Well, the plane crash, the tragic plane crash and helicopter incident in Washington, D.C., happened on late Wednesday evening in our nation's capital, and there's been just wall-to-wall news coverage over the past few days regarding it. And the investigations are still ongoing, but there's a couple things that we've learned. Number one, it definitely is a tragedy. Number two, I think the flight pattern of the Pentagon and other agencies is currently being reconsidered, whether the flight path down the Potomac right by Reagan National is a smart flight pattern and a safe one. That's all being reconsidered drastically in the last 48 hours. But we do know that the helicopter was off path, off their intended flight pattern, their intended flight path that they had been approved for upon takeoff. And I've read reports where we pretty much know that their altitude was not what it needed to be. The reports are showing that it was that 200 feet is the highest approved altitude in that area. due to Reagan National. So the helicopters have to stay at 200 feet or below when flying down the Potomac by Reagan National. Well, we know, at least preliminarily, that this helicopter was above that. Some say 300, some say 350. The helicopter was well above that approved flight altitude. Secondly, I've read reports where the helicopter, the Army helicopter, was up to a half mile off path. So if you're flying down the Potomac, this helicopter was more towards the middle or even the Virginia side of the Potomac when the approved flight path was actually on the DC side of the Potomac. So that's a big deal. And, you know, I don't know what was going on in the cockpit. I don't know what kind of communications were happening, if people were distracted. There's also reports that they were wearing night vision goggles as part of their training. And anybody who knows about night vision, if there's lighting, it's problematic. I mean, night vision by definition is intended to be used in extremely dark circumstances. And that's where the goggles operate the best for the user. But you throw on night vision goggles in an urban environment with all kinds of lighting from all kinds of directions, that's a very difficult thing to do, especially flying an aircraft. So that probably played in to the problem as well. So there's a lot of different factors that went into this. All in all, it's a tragedy. And I think reconsidering the you know, flying helicopters by Reagan National with about 100 feet, 200 feet margin of error, that's just not a wise move at all under any circumstance. Especially under training circumstances. So we'll continue to track that and see what information comes out in the next few days. Well, I told you the Democrats are in disarray. I've told you the Democrats are in disarray. The media is in disarray. They don't know what to do. They don't have a clear leader. Well, I'm not the only one saying that. To prove my point, the DNC chair, he thinks Kamala Harris is the way of the future. He thinks Vice President Harris, former Vice President Harris, is the way of the future. Listen to this DNC chair. When questioned about Kamala Harris and her future, I mean, he's just all in. We need Kamala Harris again. Let's go, DNC chair.
So looking ahead,
yeah,
should Kamala Harris run again?
Yeah, she wants to.
You think she could win?
I believe she can. I mean, if I didn't believe Kamala Harris could win, I wouldn't have worked as hard as I did to help her win this last time around. You know, Donald Trump, and when you look at politics, Donald Trump and Barack Obama are just enigmas in politics. I think they do something different to the electorate every time they run that you can't counter. But then when they are not on the ballots, it's almost like you go back to the political gravity pulls people right back into it. That's part of how we won with how well we did in the midterms.
Well, that's Jamie Harrison. He's the current DNC chair, actually the outgoing DNC chair, but he's still at the helm. And, you know, when given the opportunity to say, hey, guys, we need new leadership here. We need a new face of the party. We need another Obama. The DNC chair says, no, I mean, she's great. And if she wants to run again, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and then we go on to blame everybody else for the DNC problems. But the reality is that Kamala Harris was a terrible candidate. And many of us who cover this actually called that well in advance. I mean, I said all along, Kamala Harris might be better than Biden because she can actually do a press conference. But she's a terrible candidate. An absolutely terrible candidate. So I think Republicans need to continue capitalizing on this quagmire that the Democrats are in. But stay vigilant, folks. Stay vigilant because the Democrats will make a comeback. I don't know when it's going to be. Democrats will make a comeback. And my friends, when they come back, they're coming back with a vengeance. That's a fact. We'll be back in a few.
Preborn celebrates that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. Roe has been responsible for the slaughter of over 63 million babies. Now the decision to abort a child will be left in the hands of the states, and sadly, abortions will continue in the most liberal states. Over the past 16 years, Preborn has positioned their clinics in the top abortion cities where 50% of abortions occur. Preborn's work of saving babies' lives continues at an even greater level as they save babies' lives and defend their centers from the radical hate groups who want to shut them down. Preborn's response is dependent on you, the pro-life community. Be a part of rescuing lives and changing hearts for Christ. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 will help to rescue five babies' lives. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com. All gifts are tax deductible.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to The Core here on American Family Radio. Walker Wildman here with you on this live edition of the show. Well, if you want to listen to the show, maybe you didn't miss, maybe you didn't get an entire episode, maybe you only listened to a part of it in your vehicle ride, you can subscribe to the podcast, and we would actually encourage and love for you to subscribe to the podcast. Just go to your podcast store, whether it's on Apple, Android, Roku, all the different various Spotify podcast platforms. You can just type in At the Core and click the subscribe button on the show page. And then the latest episode will be queued up in your library each and every day. No gimmicks, no tricks. We would love for you to subscribe to At the Core podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Well, I do want to introduce our next guest. We talked extensively earlier in the week about RFK Jr.'s confirmation hearing that was ongoing at the time. Katie Talento's with us. Katie's executive director of the Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries, otherwise known as The Alliance, ahcsm.org. Katie's with us now. Katie, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, RFK Jr. Had his confirmation hearings earlier in the week, and Lord willing, he'll get approved by the committee and sent to the full floor of the Senate for a confirmation vote. But I wanted to have you on to talk about some of the issues that he's been raising, and he's no stranger to this arena. I mean, he's been fighting some of these issues for a couple decades now. So let's just take them one by one. The pharmaceutical industry is a behemoth. The industry itself is massive. We're talking billions of dollars, if not over a trillion, of money. Oh, actually, it would be over a trillion when you add in both health insurance and health care together. You're talking about up to upwards of $4 trillion a year spent on those two things in America. Is it surprising to you that there's not even more opposition to RFK Jr.? I mean, clearly some senators are squawking about him, but it seems like he's probably going to get confirmed. Is it surprising to you with all the money that's at stake here?
It's actually surprising to me that he survived the campaign, because we know what happens when the deep state conspires with giant corporate interests, you know, and a Kennedy is getting in their way. And, you know, we were praying hard to protect for his protection and, of course, for the president's protection. We saw threats to both. You know, someone actually stormed Bobby Kennedy's house twice, and he didn't have sufficient Secret Service protection from President Biden at the time. And, of course, the assassination attempts on President Trump. So I do not hold, I don't actually think that the industries that we're talking about are in any way above that kind of behavior. So, yeah, I'm surprised that it's going, you know, even mediocre.
Yeah.
And I hope that, you know, these final holdouts in the among the GOP senators will come to their senses, because this is what America wants. This is what moms want, and it's what the base of the president wants, and it's what we all voted for.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know some, you know, Christians and conservatives in the pro-life movement raised some concerns about RFK Jr. But I'm not, I said earlier in the week, I'm not really concerned about his position on the life issue because, number one, President Trump has showed abundantly, in an abundantly clear manner, that he's pro-life and his policies from his administration are going to be such. We saw that with the Mexico City policy. We've seen that in other areas as well, just within the first week. But furthermore, RFK Jr. confirmed in his hearing that he's going to uphold the pro-life policies of President Trump, including looking at the mifepristone, the abortion pill, and other things as well. And the HHS, you know, pro-abortion division and website was shut down within an hour of the inauguration. So there's just a lot of pro-life things going on. That's not a problem for me. But when we think about pro-life, Katie, pro-life goes beyond just abortion. Because when you look at the harmful foods and the harmful shots that are being given to our children, that's a pro-life issue as well. Because if there are things that we know as a community and as scientists are harmful to our population, why aren't we stopping them? And that's one thing RFK Jr. has been raising, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, the pro-life community always gets accused of only caring about the baby before it's born, right? And we always fight back and we say, no, but, you know, crisis pregnancy centers help new moms and new families. And, you know, we have all kinds of services and charities that help moms and families in need. But, you know, this is just an extension of that. The idea that you can be pro-life and not care that, you know, 1 in 34 kids has autism, 1 in 20 kids has depression. We've got 12% of children are on some sort of anti-anxiety or ADHD medication. We have 1 in 5 children has been labeled needing special health care. I mean, this is crazy. 10% of kids have a health condition that affects their daily activities consistently. 35% say they have that same condition that affects their daily activities some of the time. And, you know, this is like, we are dying. We are dying off as a species, and we're dying off faster in the West and in the United States. And that is a pro-life issue.
It is. And to your point, and RFK Jr. pointed this out in his hearing, America spends, I cited this stat on Wednesday, America spends over $4 trillion a year in healthcare. And we're one of the most unhealthy populations in the world. It's absolutely staggering. I mean, there's nobody with a straight face that can look at America and go, yeah, we've got it all figured out. We're the healthiest. We're the best. That's just not true. I mean, we have made a lot of advancements in medicine and treatment, but there's still some major issues, including the vaccines, which they keep just adding shots and immunizations to our childhood schedule, but they don't ever remove any. Some are proven to be harmful or proven not to work, and they keep them on the schedule. But one thing I wanted to get your thoughts on is the topic of junk food. Others call it ultra-processed food. But an example of this is some of these, and I'm not going to name names, but some of these fast food joints, you can set their food out like on a table, and it stays the same from a visual vantage point for like weeks or months. Which means it's got all kind of preservatives in it. Talk about this ultra-processed food and how that's leading to a lot of the health ills that we face.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people think about ultra-processed food as like a Snickers bar or a bag of Doritos, but it's so much more than that. In fact, 66% of our calories are coming from ultra-processed food. That's two-thirds of what we eat. And what ultra-processed food is really, it's just mostly non-organic matter that contains calories of some sort. So it contains enough slightly organic matter that there are calories in it, but it does not have nutrients in it. And our body gets so hungry and nutrient deprived and starved that we don't register hunger. That's why you can eat an entire like container of Pringles in one sitting, or, you know, like a whole box of Thin Mints, right? And we always wonder, how did that happen? What happened to this box of Thin Mints? And it's because we're not getting hunger cues that our brain is designed by God to give us when we get sufficient nutrients. You don't overeat beef or eggs. You can't. Your body gets full. And so we don't, if you're overeating and Almost all of us are. If you're overeating, it's because you're getting calories that have no nutrition. And that's a huge change from generations ago, even 100 years ago. This is a global experiment on, you know, our children and on our adult populations. It's a global experiment. It's never been tried in the history of humans. And as a result, we're seeing we are the sickest, fattest, saddest, you know, most mentally ill, we're the most infertile, and yet over-medicated population in human history. And we spend trillions and trillions of dollars on illnesses that are completely reversible and preventable if we would change our diet.
Yeah.
But it's hard to change our diet because these ultra-processed foods are everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes discipline. And it's definitely not convenient, to your point. It's not convenient. Eating healthy is not convenient or affordable. Yeah.
Right. It's expensive.
It is.
You know, I think about the amount of money my family spends just to get food from our regenerative farms from Amish communities in Pennsylvania. And it is like two or three times the price of what we would get for those same so-called products in grocery stores. But we view it as we pay, you know, by the nutrient. The per nutrient price is much cheaper if you get it from a regenerative farm.
Well, also, one example of, like, government overreach is raw milk, for example. And I'm not an expert in this, but or even, like, homegrown eggs, right? Or any homegrown anything. Some of these state governments are just, like, overly bureaucratic, and they've got all kinds of licenses and red tape involved. And they're fining and locking up people for growing their own stuff and like selling it to their neighbors. It's quite astonishing. But we have these ultra processed.
Well, let me tell you a story about here in Virginia about that. So where I live in Virginia, you have to own a cow in order to sell raw milk or to buy raw milk. You have to own a cow. So what they sell are what are called cow shares. You're basically buying a part of a cow and it entitles you to a certain amount of raw milk every week. And this makes it so expensive because the distribution channels have to be outside of the mainstream retail markets. And so it's very, very expensive to buy raw milk, which is far more nutritious and far safer than you've been led to believe. And so what do? We just go outside and we order it on demand from the Amish farmers in Pennsylvania because Pennsylvania does allow for raw milk to be sold and distributed. And this is the difference between, you know, so we're just hurting our Virginia farmers and our families that don't have the money or the time to chase down, you know, alternatives outside the state. It's not fair.
Yeah.
These are state laws that are largely driving this, but they're based on unscientific recommendations from the FDA and scaremongering from the FDA and the CDC about the so-called dangers of raw milk, which are ridiculous and not true. And in fact, pasteurized milk has basically sugar water because it has all the nutrients, all the proteins that are in dairy products get denatured when you hyperheat them. They no longer function as proteins anymore. And so this is why we have an expansion of lactose intolerance. And I mean, my goodness, I could rant on raw milk all day. This could be started.
Well, clearly I had a point for you that you feel strongly about because of how egregious it is. I mean, you know, and people can make a case that raw milk wasn't good for one person or whatever. I'm not an expert in this, but the problem is, Katie, is that it's so disingenuous because we can't claim that we care about regulating our food so you can't sell raw milk for whatever lame excuse you want to come up with, but then yet on the grocery store shelves, we've got all this literal junk that we're eating. I mean, it's literal junk. Half of it's not even actual food. It's like there's no telling how much plastic we intake. I mean, there's all kinds of problems, all these dyes they're putting in to color all this stuff. But you want to get onto somebody for, you know, drinking raw milk. It's like, aren't we all adults here? Like if somebody wants to drink something and maybe it doesn't go well for them, well, that's kind of on them. We're all adults here. But the whole lunacy that the government is into regulating private citizens buying and selling raw milk to each other or milk at all is just patently absurd. And I'll guarantee you our founding fathers never thought the government would be involved in anything to that degree. What do you have to say about what are some of the top things that you think should RFK Jr. get confirmed in the next week or two? What do you think are some of the top things he's going to hone in on, like in the first week or two of his administration?
What I'd love to see is a vaccine safety commission that actually takes an independent look at the childhood schedule. The vast majority of the vaccines on the childhood schedule, which, as you mentioned earlier, has exploded since I was a child when there were only three vaccines and you got, you know, seven or eight doses of them. So now we have 75 doses of dozens of vaccines.
Yeah.
You know, and kids are getting dozens and dozens of shots before their six-month birthday. And so, you know, I would like to see an independent safety commission take a look at this. We're supposed to have these safety commissions already, but they're all, every single person on those commissions, both at the CDC and the FDA, are on the take from pharmaceutical industries. And so they have conflicts of interest that is supposed to require recusal, but they just waive those ethics rules for these people. So I think we need a vaccine safety commission to really take a look, since not one of them was ever, you know, approved with a long-term placebo-controlled trial. There were trials, but they lasted 3-5 days, or they weren't placebo-controlled.
Well, they were corrupted, too.
Measured them against, you know, the last vaccine.
Yeah. Well, and with the COVID...
So that's one. Another thing I would hope that we would... Another, you know, is right now the FDA is persecuting farmers across the country who just want to slaughter the animals on their own farms, and that they sell to customers who have, you know, expressed, who have asserted that they consent to this and that they waive their rights to sue and all this. They just won't leave these farmers alone. So that's one thing. We certainly need to take a look at the dietary guidelines. Now that's at the U.S. Department of Agriculture and not Health and Human Services. But what the FDA could do is declare, you know, what we already know, which is that many of these food additives, many of these products are unsafe for human consumption, and that would force some changes to the dietary guidelines put out by the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Yeah, and part of the vaccine safety board review needs to be the COVID vaccines too, the so-called.
Well, yes, they're COVID on the childhood schedule now. That's right.
Yeah, the so-called COVID vaccines, even though they perform as shots, that needs to be looked at too, because that's a massive scandal. We don't even know how many people have lost their lives because of the side effects of those shots. Katie, thanks so much for your work. Appreciate you coming on today.
Appreciate you. Take care. God bless.
All right. Thank you. That's Katie Talento. She's executive director over at the Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries, AHCSM.org. Very important topic, America's health. And hopefully we'll have RFK Jr. as HHS secretary in the next few days.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values. This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to The Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to have you with us today on the program. Well, vented earlier in the week on Wednesday about how a lot of these politicians and these senators like to, you know, regurgitate these talking points, but they themselves actually don't know the studies. They don't know the data. They don't know the facts behind the information. And, you know, Senator Bill Cassidy in Louisiana is no different. He's actually a Republican on the committee that had the hearing regarding RFK Jr.'s confirmation. And, you know, he said basically, you know, you're wrong on your skepticism for vaccines is what Kennedy told, or Cassidy rather, told RFK Jr. But he doesn't articulate why he's wrong. He just says you're wrong. He doesn't say, here are the three studies that show that your conclusion is wrong, RFK Jr. He just, you know, if you're a vaccine skeptic, then you're wrong. It's pretty much the position, which is actually a very low IQ position. It's shocking that we have lawmakers that don't even do their own homework to know the facts behind the data. But nonetheless, Chris Woodward's with us to talk about some of this. Chris, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much. Busy week.
Yeah, very busy week. RFK Jr. Went through the confirmation hearing. I don't think the committee yet has voted to pass him onto the floor of the Senate. But President Trump, speaking of confirmations, previous presidents have had way more nominees confirmed at this point.
Yes.
This is an extreme slow walk by the Senate.
It is. And talking about RFK, I did talk to Mary Holland, one of his former colleagues. She does think that he will be confirmed. Obviously, it was a very contentious hearing. She said as much. But she does think he will be confirmed. I'm not so sure about that. I'm more open to the idea that Mr. Kennedy might actually be a recess appointment if and when the Senate actually goes on a break, given the divide over him. But as we have pointed out for several days now, he himself did say things like, quote, I'm not anti-vax. He did say he was not against measles and polio vaccine. He did share concerns about problems that people sometimes have when he has those things. And he talked about food additives. Many Republicans, you know, received him nicely. They were glad to have him, glad to talk to him about various issues. But as you mentioned, some senators, even Republicans, did have issues with him. I don't know that he will be confirmed. Kash Patel is another one. But they were two widely watched confirmation hearings. I dare to say no confirmation hearing has been more widely watched than this week or this batch of nominees.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, this whole, like, criticism that we can't, like, start to scrutinize the 75 shots they want to give our kids, it's just patently absurd. And it's hypocritical, too, because a lot of these lawmakers and a lot of the professional athletes and business people, America's CEOs, they heavily scrutinize their own health standards.
Yes.
Especially these athletes, I mean, because their body is their income, right? And, you know, they are, like, particular about what they eat, what they drink, what time they go to bed, what vitamins they take. They don't take any medications without going through their, like, sports doctor. So this, like diligence that parents want to exercise on what, you know, shots they're injecting into our children at, like, 3 months old or 2 weeks old, I don't know why that's, like, scandalous.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're all defensive about it. And I've even asked some of the nurses that come in, and they're like, hey, you want to give your newborn this shot? And I'm like, what does this shot do? And they're like, I'm going to need to go back and read some, and I'll bring back some paperwork for
yes.
you. And they just go to the CDC website and print off a page about the shot, and they themselves don't even know what it does.
Right. You would think when it comes to the issues of vaccines that limited government people, i.e. Republicans, would be okay with parents going, you know what, I'll make the decision for myself. Same thing with liberals. If you're all, hey, to each his own, we don't judge, you would be that same mindset as well. But both of them, perhaps for financial incentives, are pushing things like vaccines, which is why we saw a contentious hearing, or really a couple of hearings, for Mr. Kennedy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we need somebody to shake it up. There's a lot of corruption involved with the health industry, the health care and health insurance as well. And it all needs to be, you know, examined pretty heavily. What about the Federal Reserve?
Yes.
I know you and I talk pretty frequently about interest rates. What are they doing there?
Yeah, the Federal Reserve left its key interest rate unchanged this week after cutting it three times in a row last year, a sign of a more cautious approach as the Fed seeks to gauge where inflation is headed and what policies President Trump may pursue. That's how the Associated Press words it. One of the policies that the Associated Press and other people are really looking at is the whole tariffs issue That's going to be going into effect tonight for nations like Canada and Mexico. The AP and other people seem to think that this is going to do catastrophic harm to the economy and cause even more problems. Trump is not of that opinion, obviously. He thinks this is going to lead or cause Canada and Mexico to come to the table. They'll negotiate some new deals. He has also said that if you are, let's say, somebody in agriculture and you might be losing some here to these countries, we're going to get you better deals in other countries so that way you do have income coming in. Trump's a businessman. I think he knows what he's doing. Certainly, he's been in this. This ain't his first rodeo in terms of being in the Oval Office. So we shall see. We could be talking about something again with the economy come Monday. But as of right now, the Fed is not moving. Mr. Powell declined to address Trump's comments calling for lower rates. They seem to be at odds. One of the things that really stood out to me in terms of Powell's announcement is he called the job market, quote, solid. I would beg to differ based on the fact that we have hired mostly government or taxpayer-funded positions for the past two and a half years.
Yes, which that's actually about to be affected. Because you got another story on this. But
yes,
there's thousands of federal employees that are about to quit or resign at their own will in many cases because they don't want to go back to the office.
Yes.
And it's kind of a shocking concept to actually have to go to work.
Right, yeah. How, you know.
And there's Fred was telling me, Fred Jackson, our news director, was telling me this morning about a case. This is just one case of a lady that was working for the federal government. And her boss went into like a Macy's during her lunch break. And the lady that was supposed to be working for the federal government, quote, online and remote, was actually double dipping at Macy's.
Yes.
And not working at all for the federal government.
You know, President Kennedy was famous for saying, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Nowhere in that speech did he say, thou shalt double dip. Because pretty much there are people working, we're paying them, we the taxpayers are paying that person, and then they're making some, you know, they've got a side hustle selling perfume at the Macy's cosmetics department there. And I'm curious as to whether or not that individual was paying taxes, because if they're not, we're in a very interesting climate coming off the everybody's got to pay their fair share administration from Joe Biden's time in office. But yeah, this story, for people not aware, you can read it on AFN.net. President Trump is offering federal workers a buyout, all federal employees who opt to leave their jobs by next week. It's being viewed as an unprecedented move to shrink the U.S. government at breakneck speed. I talked to a couple of taxpayer groups about this this week. One of them, Taxpayers Protection Alliance, said, look, I think it's great. We need to spend less on federal employees. They do hope that it is indeed a blanketed approach, and they're not just doing it to people that are nearing retirement, because if you can get rid of some younger person who's going to make more money for the federal government should they stay, you're actually saving money in the long run versus making some quick cash.
Yeah, he's talking about 2 million people throughout the federal employment. So that's
a lot of people.
Yeah,
the remote workers was funny for me because you can find these things on X or YouTube. But before he signed the Lake and Riley Act into law this week, President Trump talked about how remote workers need to come back to work. And he talked about how this was an issue before COVID, when it kind of became a household thing culturally for people to work remotely. This was a problem before COVID. And I think he has a point. We're spending a lot of money on buildings and posh offices that these people are not going to.
Right.
Why do we need to do that?
Well, and a lot of the positions are, they're either duplicitous or they're just not needed, which could be the same, but not needed meaning they don't need anybody to do the job. It's not just that there's multiple people that can do it. There's so much waste. There's so much waste in the federal government. People have no idea. Some people have an idea because they've experienced it. But I mean, you could go in there and you could trim so much fat and nobody, literally nobody would know the difference.
Yeah.
Like your taxpayers would not recognize any change in the services provided by the government.
95% of politicians, and I would include Republicans in this, 95% of them don't care about spending because it's somebody else's money.
Correct.
And the only person that can really make a dent
right
now—
And there's no limit on it.
Right.
Either.
The only person that can really make a dent right now and a difference for taxpayers is the chief executive, which is what he's trying to do here.
Yes. Yeah, this is a big deal. I mean, if you can lay off tens of thousands, they're talking about millions, but if you can lay off, I would say, tens of thousands, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just do the math on that.
Yeah.
That can be saved by the government. You know, one thing they're going to have to do, Chris, though, is get Congress on board with the spending cuts.
Yes.
Because Congress loves to spend money. And to your point, it's not their money. And there's no limit to it because they have the printing press over at the Treasury Department. So telling Congress, hey, guys, we don't need to spend all this money. And this is coming from the executive branch who spends the money. That's going to be an interesting dynamic.
Yes. And to throw a wrench into that, you're going to have the news media a week from now doing stories like, the EPA cannot protect the environment.
Give me a break.
With only so many people, or the Interior Department won't be able to save the sage grouse.
Yes.
If we're going to cut all these people from all these positions.
Well, some of the media outlets tried to blame Trump's federal funding freeze on certain programs and departments, which it wasn't across the board. They had to. They tried to blame him. The FAA, basically, the FAA was understaffed because of Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
No, none of his executive orders had anything to do with the FAA at all. And these folks that are at the FAA were there from Biden. Mm-hmm. I mean, these folks were holdovers from Biden because that's an agency where there's probably not a lot of political appointees. So to try to blame Trump for the FAA, give me a break.
Right.
And you can't even blame Hegseth over at the Department of Defense. The dude hadn't even got his coffee yet.
I know.
And they're like, come to the podium, sir. We've got 67 dead in the Potomac, which is a very serious matter. Trump, too. I mean, he's just like still picking out the carpet in the Oval Office. Mm-hmm. So this is all like got Biden's fingerprints all over it.
To add to that, I talked to a guy at Heritage this week, the Heritage Foundation, when Democrats were saying Trump hasn't done anything to lower grocery prices. The data they were using to show that nothing was being done about grocery prices was from before Donald Trump took the oath of office.
You can't even run reports and studies that quickly on pricing. The market takes so long to lag out. There's no way you can get any economic data that has anything to do with Trump.
Yeah,
so
and that's been pointed out by you guys the last couple of weeks on this show.
You know,
show.
These Democrats are either, I want to use another word.
They're lying.
They're unintelligent.
Yeah.
Or they're lying or both.
Yes. There's some more bad words we could say about them.
I won't, though, because I value this show.
I'm just thinking, like, these people are infuriating.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Well, and they're getting, the Democrats are in disarray, and the media. They're getting pushed into irrelevance.
They are. I think that's one of the reasons why we saw such contentious battles between
in the Senate.
Yeah, not with Kennedy, but just Hegseth, Cash Patel.
All of them. Yeah. None of them got it easy.
They're going to, they need to get on TV, on CNN or MSNBC, even if tens of people are watching those networks now. So they need to get on there. They need to have their little isolated soundbite being shared on X, formerly known as Twitter. And they're going to use these moments to fundraise. We already had Akeem Jeffries today saying we need our supporters to, quote, fight the Trump agenda in the streets.
That's perfect. We have time for that.
Yeah, Bobby, let's play that.
We are going to fight it legislatively. We are going to fight it in the courts, and we're going to fight it in the streets.
Oh,
sounds
okay.
Like an insurrection.
It does. Where's the FBI when we need them? Oh, wait, we haven't confirmed Cash Patel yet.
Well, I have 2 minutes. Yeah, that was what he told us.
he told Klobuchar that. Yeah, that was hilarious. So for those who don't know, I should have brought in the clip. Amy Klobuchar was questioning Cash Patel and being, of course, utterly disrespectful, disingenuous. And she ran out of, she said, well, if I had 2 hours, 5 hours, I would ask you all these questions, but I don't. He said, yeah, you got 2 minutes.
And then the look on her face was like, touche, you know, I mean, she didn't know what else to say.
Yeah, it was quite beautiful. But Akeem Jeffries, folks, this is the party of violence. This is the party of dangerous rhetoric. Akeem Jeffries, and he actually had time to think about that there. Like, this is a press conference. These are prep statements.
If Mike Johnson had said that
today, we're going to fight in the streets.
Cory Booker would have lost his mind.
Really, Hakeem? Explain to me how that works. How do we fight in the streets, sir?
Love Trump's hate.
Yeah. This is, the Democrats don't know how to build anything, create anything, foster anything. Literally, all the Democrats know is destruction. And we can go case after case, whether it's Obamacare, whatever, Biden's 4 years, they break stuff. They touch it and they break it. And it's stuff that patriots created. including our Constitution. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us on this Friday edition of the program. We'll see you next week.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.